Plenty of time. Will you go ahead, Greg?
Okay. Hello, everybody. Good afternoon. And yes.
Before you start, is there any way we could get the people maybe in closer?
Excuse me?
That'll take too much time. Go ahead.
Okay. What we're going to do for the first hour or thereabouts is myself and Nathan Moore and members of the staff and management are going to talk about the programming meeting, also called a summit, that we held just yesterday afternoon, the morning and afternoon. What you'll be hearing is about the process, also about certain areas that we covered in the meeting, work left to be done. And I'm going to let Nathan introduce, and he and I will lead the group through this first part of the presentation. Nathan, would you like to start?
Sure. I also want to take a minute to mic on? Hello. Great. I want to take a minute to introduce everybody that was at the summit yesterday for some of the newer board members that probably don't know all the program directors and GMs yet. And also because we have a new program director, I'd like to go ahead and introduce everybody that made it to our meetup yesterday. Summit seems so grandiose, but to our programming meeting. I'll go ahead. Sasha Lilly, the interim program director from KPFA, was there. And people like Sasha. Dwayne Bradley, the GM from KPFT. Robert Scott Adams, the interim general manager from WBAI. Ursula Rudenberg from Pacifica National. Stepped out. And it's a long list. We can save for the end if you want. John L. Mello, also with Pacifica National, and now expertly running the board. Eva Georgia, the general manager at KPFK. Lem Riggio from KPFA, also interim general manager. Armando Godinho. The program director at KPFK. Phil Asageda, the assistant to the executive director. Brian DeShazer, the director of the Pacifica Radio Archives. Ernesto Aguilar, the program director at KPFT. Ernesto. Greg was present. There you go. Sorry, it's yeah. Bobby Hill, the brand new program director at WPFW. Oh, okay, he'll be here in a bit. Bobby Hill.
Where is he?
He's en route. He's getting ready for freshening up.
Before you continue, John, can I have my mic? Okay. First of all, it's hard to hear because there's a lot of conversation in the room. Second of all, I just wanted to announce that John Riley is videotaping, and I've checked with our attorney, and there's no law prohibiting videotaping of a public meeting, or I'm not clear that we have any decision in the matter, but I did want people to be aware of it. And go ahead.
Thanks for that. Ron Pinchback, the general manager at WPFW. Verna Avery Brown from the Washington Bureau. Lonnie Hicks, the CFO of the organization. And Casey Peters joined us early in the meeting, the new national election supervisor. And last and certainly not least, Bernard White, the program director at WBAI. So I want to start things off, now that you kind of know what everybody looks like and have been introduced, start off talking about the real need for getting together as a group of people doing the programming and managing the programming at our stations. As a network, we have to be able to communicate with each other, and we have to get together to talk about common issues from time to time. And there have been so few venues for this in the past, from what I've come to learn. It happens very seldom. And this has really been a great opportunity to get together, to talk about issues, to hash out things that we can do collectively, to start sharing, to start talking about ideas for... I'm sorry? Great. And one of those that came also, Bobby Hill, the new program director at WPFW. So let me just start from scratch. When I was going around the tour of the stations, I started this job doing a circuit of the five sister stations. And one of the things people kept saying to me is, we need more communication. We need more, you know, coordination and discussion amongst us. We need to be able to communicate back and forth. If we've got a great program and want to share it, we need to know how to do that. If we've got an idea for a program, how do we do that? This is really a great first step in that process. Having a programming meetup like this is going to, I think it's going to go a long way. It'll hopefully kick off the start of program directors actually talking to each other more often. They kind of now have a better sense of each other as people, as other humans across the way, not just a name and an email, you know. That's, I think, the real golden part of getting together as a group like this, communicating, having this kind of summit. We also have a few things that kind of came out of it, but there is a real need for getting together in this fashion, and I think it helps re-articulate a programming vision among the people that are coordinating it and managing it and doing the programming.
Yeah, and just to describe the process of how we got here very briefly is that actually this idea began to be discussed last year, and it was actually Bernard White who very articulately put before us that we needed to begin to structure a discussion around specifically programming. And so early this year, after Nathan was hired, we began in the Operations Collective, which is the management group that meets every 2 weeks, to discuss, well, what would that agenda look like? And there was some discussion of how broad the participation could be, partially for financial reasons, and we decided that we would start at this point by bringing all of the staff that you've seen here, about 20 people together here, to begin that discussion. We then generated a list of the topics that we felt ought to be on that agenda, and we'll discuss in a moment what we were able to get through in about 7 or 8 hours that we were together yesterday. And then we heard from the PMB, which had been involved in its own strategic planning discussions, as to some of the issues they wanted us to put on the table for this group, and reevaluated, you know, what our agenda would actually be. And so we were able, to some extent, to address both of these yesterday. And we do see this as a step, not as a conclusion. There was also some discussion within certain stations prior to this meeting about what should be brought to this meeting. So there has been, to a limited extent, some other staff discussion that's begun, but we also recognize that that has to continue.
We had a fairly wide-ranging conversation yesterday. I tried to wrangle it in as best we could. There's always things that you can't get to in one day, no matter how hard you try. But we do have some things that I think are pretty exciting that are coming out of this in terms of a place to start for really, you know, capitalizing the letter N in network, perhaps. And I think I've kind of divvied these up into three broad categories that got discussed in different ways. One is in programming priorities and content. Yeah. What types of programming do we prioritize? Programming goals and review. How do we actually set goals and review programs that we've got? And then process and decision making around programming issues is sort of my third broad category. And then after we address those, I think we also need to talk about the future and look ahead to what might come next with this kind of process. In terms of program priorities and content, we talked about issues. We did kind of a brainstorm, if you will, a little bit, of different issues that might be very good to cover. Obviously, bringing in the board's notion there were a few different issues that were mentioned specifically by the PNB, and we incorporated those into discussion. In fact, environmental programming was one of the first things mentioned, and I think environment certainly makes the list. A number of others that are also very important, programming about race and nationality. And to that end, we have a new Race and Nationality Producers Collective that has met once, and we're trying to kind of get that off the ground. Other programming ideas, constitutional rights, immigration, healthcare and housing. A number of others as well, international issues, domestic issues. we came up with a list of it was very much a brainstorm, and so we haven't like pared this down to three or four core issues or anything, and nor am I sure that we could. But what we do have is some idea about the types of programming we're looking for. We ended up talking mostly about public affairs, which I think is something that we do a lot in Pacifica, especially when we're talking about Pacifica National programming. We also talked about the need to really coordinate more with the news programming, and so to look at issues there that we could collaborate with. Within that, we talked about formats that we would like to prioritize, not just the actual topics, but how we deliver it, how we send the message, how we tell the stories. And the how question is also quite important. Something I heard again in my circuit of the stations and that the group discussed a great deal yesterday was the strong desire for really smart, well-produced content, content that's very thoughtful, more content with dialogue and even debates, also more documentary-style productions, more investigative journalism. Those all got mentioned yesterday. And another good comment that I think is also important to bring in, incorporating a lot of solution components into the programming that we produce around these topics and issues, because it can be really easy to get down about the world and about all these issues when there's no sort of all, you know, where do we go from here and how do we get there when there's none of that presented. And I think that's an important component as well. I want to open it actually to the program directors and the staff that were there yesterday and see who we could maybe get up. And
you should probably mention the draft calendar and then, you know.
Oh, sure. And, of course, the draft calendar as well. We are, in terms of, in the spirit of planning and organization and collaboration among all the stations and the players in the network, I've been trying to collect some dates and some calendar ideas for national programming and sort of assembling them into a calendar. We had a draft calendar that the group looked at yesterday, and we started to take a look at it. Got some feedback, got some new ideas. What we're going to do with it is actually solicit more ideas from the program directors, kind of do a bit of a tally, a bit of a poll to see which of those ideas the stations most want to run with, and then really develop that into a calendar and work from there. The calendar is not a steel-clad thing. It's more like a flexible document that helps us plan our specials, helps us plan our programming. And I think it'll be a very useful document as well. Let's talk to some of the program directors about some of this. In particular, I know Bernard and Sasha had some things they might like to say, but you're all welcome to speak to this if you like. And Brian, I know you've got a lot of ideas as well for national specials. If you want to mention anything.
I want to say, first of all, regardless of what Rob Robinson said about all you folks, regardless of what he said, what the hell did you do to this mic, man?
Look what happened just now.
Mary, is that you over there? How you doing, Mary? How you guys doing?
Okay.
So listen, folks, I just want to start off with a little bit. How's everybody doing? Look at this. Wow.
Oh.
All right. Now I got a good idea what I'm going to say about all of you on the internet. I'm Armando Gudino, program director at KPFK, and I know I speak on behalf of my colleagues when we say that we are both excited and looking forward to not only working with all of you, but working with each other in lieu of this great opportunity that we had to come together and, you know, come up with a collaborative process, structure, and initiative with intents of improving not only what we're doing as stations, but as a network. And one of the areas that I want to bring to your attention is that we had a considerable amount of time where we sat down and made caricatures of you people.
Thank you.
Just kidding.
Thank you.
But we also did spend some time discussing how do we improve our discussions, our efforts, our collaborations with board members and our respective LSBs in the region. And with that, we came up with some ideas that you'll be receiving, you know, in due time as we continue to filter those, which include, you know, having more discussions, having a list of priorities for us in collaboration with the general manager, some clear definitions of how these processes can take place. But most importantly, how do we communicate amongst each other and support each other as program directors, as stations, in dealing with the challenges that we face in programming. I know it's a little vague, folks, but keep in mind that this is the first time we came together. It's the first time that I think all program directors are actually seated in the respective stations, and it's a good start, and no new road is ever easy. So we're looking forward to developing that further. I'm not going to take up the mic. I just wanted to get in here and get on the soapbox for a couple minutes, make you guys laugh and smile. But I do want to bring up the other program directors who actually know what they're doing. And thank you, Mary.
Could I ask a question? Could each of you, as you speak, let us know what you thought was the most productive concrete thing to come out so we have a sense of that, and also the most urgent thing that you think didn't get addressed so we have a sense of that? Each of you could speak, or not, if you want, but I'd be interested.
I mean, briefly to respond to that, I think one of the most positive things was to actually to be able to come together and, for example, help develop this calendar and help develop. We discussed at length the issue of program evaluations and program reviews. I think that was very positive. Bernard, Sasha?
Since Dave brought up the idea of what was the most concrete thing and the most valuable thing, I think there's probably two things that were both valuable and concrete. One was simply getting together. It was a great start. And we also have commitment from the program directors to meet on a regular basis and kind of work together every couple of weeks, do a teleconference, which is great. And also some discussion already about how to work on our program evaluation process and programming goals and review, which is kind of the second section that I'll get to in a little while. But we're already kind of working on how we might go about that. In terms of I'll leave it at that for now. What was your other part of the question? Right?
The most urgent thing that you feel didn't yet get addressed.
I'd have to say that would be tech issues, probably. We didn't get a chance to discuss much in the way of programming technical issues. Infrastructure, yeah, both developing more capacity, whether it's web capacity, distribution capacity, all that kind of stuff. The nuts and bolts of radio, because we were talking mostly about ideas yesterday. We didn't get into the nuts and bolts as much. Honestly, some other staff members, operations staff, tech staff, might be good to bring into that conversation in the future as well.
Okay, good afternoon, everyone. Many of the things that we talked about trying to focus on a variety of issues that we feel are going to be are confronting our listenership that we do individually, but we don't do collectively. There are certain areas, certain stations that focus on different things and have a different set of priorities. But we're trying to discuss how we could develop some national priorities that we could all begin to focus on because society is dramatically changing. Domestically, we talked about, and you heard some of this already, about housing, healthcare, the growth of the prison industrial complex, the issue of race and nationality, labor, gender, media, and the plight of returning veterans. I know we've spoken about that a little bit, but we got thousands of folks who are going to be returning from this war who are not going to be able to get the services that they need, and it's going to have a devastating impact on us in D.C. and New York, places like that. We will see the army of the homeless increase again. In fact, it's already beginning to happen. The elimination or reduction of our civil liberties and the rise toward fascism, a new form of fascism in this country. We figured that we might as well call it for what it is, that we are going through a period where systematically we're losing our rights and what America was all about, or at least on paper, the paper is being taken away. The U.S. election process, taking a look at that. Immigration issues, environmental issues, the plight of indigenous peoples around the world. Internationally, to identify and take a look at the various theaters of military, economic, and cultural conflict around the world, particularly focusing on the Southern Hemisphere, which includes South and Central America. The United States is deeply embroiled in this war in the Middle East right now, but already they've begun to come back and begin to do some things to Central American countries, trying to destabilize them and to make sure that the expectations, because of the election of more liberal, progressive leadership, They want to begin to deal with those expectations of the people and to take back control and make sure that the people don't get an opportunity to control their resources. President Bush also has an initiative for Africa where it's they're talking about putting different rapid deployment forces in various parts of Africa, which is going to mean that a lot of resources are going to go toward that country, toward destabilizing and making sure that progressive regimes don't exist. And, of course, the Middle East is an ongoing issue. So we divided it up into that. We're going to try and devote resources and ideas toward creating some national programs so we can begin to really let people know about how these things are developing in this period. Thank you.
Tilt the mic. All right, maybe I'll just tilt the mic down. Okay. Thank you. And now it's low. Hi, everyone. Really glad to meet you all. It's first time coming to a national board meeting. Since I was named interim program director at KPFA, so I'm really looking forward to getting to know you all. This meeting was pretty exciting for me, this meeting that we had yesterday. It really was a chance for us to start really coordinating programming across the network and to make us think about ways to make us really be the network that we are and break out of the confines of our stations. And it was just really, really exciting to have a chance to talk to other program directors, understand the sort of concerns that they face, the different issues with programming in their stations, and to think about our common interests, which, you know, are many. So as part of that process, we were talking about what sort of programming could link us. And I think Bernard spoke quite well to the issue of themes and content, but another question is how we tell the stories that we tell or how we present the information that we present and the importance of that if we are to really fulfill our mission and speak to those people who really need to hear from us. And I think for us there's a real imperative that we can reach out to audiences beyond the people who are our core listeners, the people who are listening to us right now. And you know, as someone on the left, I feel like there's political urgency in that. So thinking about how we shape what we say, how we put together programming, I think is really actually a political question. One of the things that came up in our discussion was, while it really makes sense to have national specials where you have some talking heads and call-ins and so on, that's great. That's one way. But we should also think about other ways of presenting information. And Pacifica has this incredible history of documentary production. You know, we have just shaped how radio is done in this country. And I think we really need to have a chance to get in touch with that history and in this new century, keep shaping how radio is done. And particularly if we have a commitment to reach younger listeners, which, you know, I think we do, how do we present information that younger listeners are going to find appealing? And I think sound-rich programming, pre-produced programming is part of that. So that's one of the big things that we talked about in that discussion. In terms of, and the other thing about documentary production is there's always this question, how do we get more voices on the air? And that is a way of allowing a multiplicity of voices and a multiplicity of perspectives because, you know, Pacifica was founded on this notion of dissent and dialogue, and the dialogue debate part we don't always do well. And one of the things that came out of this that I find very exciting is Armando and I were talking about having a debate that we would simulcast on both stations. So it's yes, we're going to debate right now. All right. on 9/11. So get these controversial issues out in the open and have them get hashed out on the air like they should be, and have it be beyond our stations. So to me, that was very, very exciting, and I'm looking forward to that. And in terms of the questions that Dave raised, I agree with Nathan. The thing that we didn't get a chance to talk to and really desperately need to talk about is the question of technology and how do we, in a multi-platform world, produce programming, think about programming differently, and how do we build the capacity to do that? I think that's an urgent question for us, and something we need to be putting a lot of energy into, and I wish we had a little more time to talk about that. In terms of other things that, I mean, that came out of it, positive things, just this chance to start talking together, and I mean, I think in some ways we are the one of the links that link the local and the national. And so how do we connect up? And one of the things I'm most excited about that came out of this is that we're talking about sharing content. And we do that to some degree, but we really don't do that like we should. I mean, there's KPFK on their news uses news reports from our Sacramento report at KPFA. That's great. But how do we move beyond that and really share our content? And because not only is that something that would really define us as a network, but here are these incredible resources that we're not using because we haven't really had a chance to talk to each other. So I think this is the beginning of a great relationship, I think people should look out for what's coming up. I think there'll be a lot of interesting programming that results from this collaboration. Thanks.
I'm tall. The beauty of what you've just heard about a little bit, these broad discussions we had about the issues, the priorities, the programming priorities, the different types of formats we might be able to employ and to accomplish really what we're all trying to do, which is to make Pacifica a really strong, relevant, society-changing voice. The discussions form somewhat of the basis of the next section, which is programming goals and review. This was just yesterday. Nothing has been drafted yet, but I think really the sort of things we've just been hearing about, you know, what types of issues we feel are needed to cover, what types of formats will be great to run with, these can become the base for a process for identifying goals for national programming, I think. We've just gotten all the program directors together, the national staff together. I think what this group thinks is important is a great thing to use as a base for how we decide what national programming to pursue. And that's part of the programming goals and review process, how we actually make our goals and sort of figure out what we're going to do with national programming. I also think that, this isn't just what I think. The group, everybody's got issues with evaluation processes. You know, how do you do program evaluations? What does that look like? How do you make it work? Only one station actually has done a full cycle of evaluations, from what I understand, but everybody's interested. So what we're going to do is have the program directors and myself get together and basically try and develop an evaluation process that stations can use. Now, each of those stations will sort of probably take that template, take that general evaluation and get input at the local level as well and make it work for their locality. But what we're going to try and do is, and we've already set this up as far as like meeting as a group. The program directors and myself will gather all the different evaluation tools that we have either used, have come across. A number of us were actually at the NFCB last weekend and most of us were in the same workshop about program evaluations. There's a real need and urge and desire to do these. It's part of, you know, self-reflection, self-criticism as a radio station so that we can improve and get better. Not so we can throw people off the air, but so that we can, you know, make our programming as strong as it can be. So we're going to gather these different evaluation tools, evaluation processes, assess the strengths and weaknesses of the ones that we actually have tried, and try and construct something, try and make something that works. We're going to aggregate it into a recommendation for local stations to take and then employ. And then share it. Share it with others, because if we're putting in all this incredible work into this terrific program evaluation process, other people in the community radio world should also have access to it. And I think that that's a nice thing that we can do for others. And, of course, the programming committee recently asked for a June 19th deadline for a status report based on of where stations are with their evaluations right now, and we'll be certainly getting that. And we're going to try and we're shooting for, now we'll see if it happens, but, you know, we're shooting for having this other thing, this discussion and sort of compilation of different evaluation processes into a solid process. We're shooting for that by near the end of the year, if we can. And I know there's some other program directors that would also like to speak to this, so I'll turn it over to them.
So just to answer Dave's question, my name is Ernesto Aguilar. I am program director at KPFT in Houston. Yay, Houston. Thank you. Thank you. Not for me, it's for Houston. Thank you. And just to answer Dave's question directly, I think for me the biggest thing that came out of this was the issue of evaluation, because the reality is many of the stations right now are really struggling with how to build an evaluation process. And for stations that already have an evaluation process in place, there are a lot of strengths and weaknesses there that are prompting them to reevaluate where they're at. So having that evaluation discussion for me was real valuable, because I think that if we are able to aggregate something that we can at least recommend to other stations and recommend to ourselves internally, I think it's going to help us to do much stronger programming ethically, financially, in service to the mission. All of these things will be more greatly served if we're able to bring ourselves up to a national standard, so to speak, in terms of the evaluations of our programming. Another key component for me in terms of the issue of evaluation is doing and making a sincere effort to reach out to some of the community radio stations who look to Pacifica for leadership in areas like this. We have an incredible infrastructure here, and I know sometimes it's very easy for us to take it for granted, but many of these stations do look to us for leadership. Just talking with stations at the Federation of Community Broadcasters Conference in New Orleans, many of them come to us for programming. They come to us for all kinds of ideas, and evaluations are one of those things that, like us, they're often struggling with. So it's a big challenge for them, with often much, much, much smaller staffs than we do, to actually put together an evaluation. How do they organize their committees? How do they organize their boards? How are these things structured? And how can Pacifica help them? If putting this tool together will help one small community radio station do a positive evaluation process and really help move them forward and make their station stronger, I think that we've done something pretty dynamite. I'm very, very optimistic about the idea that we can come together and say, here are some strengths, here are some weaknesses to some of our processes currently. Brand new stations that are, not to say brand new stations, but stations with a brand new process are really looking for some guidance, not just from these strengths and weaknesses that we learn from, but other stations' experiences. A lot of great models are out there, everything from KFAI, KBOO out in Portland, WORT, where Nathan came from. A lot of great processes that are out there that we can learn from as well. But in order to do that, getting us all together, I think, is a real key thing. Talking about those experiences, learning from each other, and also hopefully learning together where the next steps need to come from. I think that we still have quite a way to go. But in all honesty, I think that we are moving in a very, very positive track. In terms of where I would have liked us to go, I have to agree that the technology area was an underrepresented area. We really didn't get into that as much as I would like. Not just the technical aspects of the programming, but how we deliver those things, how we make sure that those programs get out to affiliates, how we're really building our internal structures with each production to be technically as rich and as full as they could be. I think that we're not exactly reaching the capacity that we could. And I think with a little bit of training here and there and with some sharing of content and sharing of discussions, we could really get there. This was definitely a great start. I think we still have some ways to go, but it was very, very positive. And with that, I bring on the newest member of the family. I told you I'd do an introduction for you. I bring on the newest member of the family. Big hand for Bobby Hill.
Greetings, everyone, and apologies for my late arrival. Those who know the Academy Awards, that was my Christine Lottie moment. Mine is the tissue. I'm Bobby Hill, newest programmer here at WPFW. I began this month, and I'll do a quick introduction. I'm a native Washingtonian, fourth generation Washingtonian. It was when I was in college, my first year, 1977, that I heard WPFW sign on in 1977, which got me into radio as a college producer. When I got out, my first meeting with Marita Rivera, hot shot out of college, was to walk up to her and say, I'm ready to do my thing. And the first thing she did was give me a broom and ask me to sweep the lobby, which was great because it made me realize that this thing is bigger than what we individually want to do. There's a bigger thing that we're involved in. Regarding program evaluations, Ernesto really said a lot of good things, which I support, and many of our members supported as well. But another thing we want to get across is that we do recognize that the programmers are the delivery channel that pushes the air. They're the most important part of what we do because they deliver the content that we all hear. So in that respect, any evaluation that we do of them, we want to make them aware of what those components that we're evaluating them on. And evaluations can be a rough-sounding term. It's really an opportunity to make sure that we're as effective or they're as effective doing their job as possible. So we'll make sure they're aware of what they are being evaluated on. We want to make sure that they have the training, both technical and historical knowledge of what Pacifica and the stations are all about, so they understand that moving forward. And it really is an opportunity to improve what they do and ultimately improve the pushing of the air, delivering the music and the public affairs and the news. As far as what I got out of this session, it was just great meeting everyone for the first time. And I should mention, I've been programming here since 1983, but I was also a board member from 1985 until 1990, first as a volunteer rep and then as a vice chair before I ultimately completed my six-year term. So just meeting everyone was a great thing, and a collaborative effort that a collaborative approach that we intend to move on is a wonderful thing. I amplify the IT as being an issue that we all discussed, that we need to talk about more, but also want to further amplify that we desire to bring our operations directors into that discussion too. So we're not talking just to PMs and GMs, but the people who are responsible for the technical side of pushing that air are a part of that discussion as well. With that, I'll end my little speech, and thank you all.
Thanks, Bobby.
All right.
The third broad area that we talked about was the process and how decision-making happens with national programming in particular. The issue of must-carry has certainly come up in the last few months and has been discussed a lot. And fairly universally, the folks yesterday were not in favor of must-carries. If must-carries were to be done, it would have to be a very, very high threshold, very, very, very high threshold. It was sort of repeated several times. And we actually came up with a new notion that I like a lot that we call collaborative carry. and it's also got nice alliteration. Collaborative carry means that the programs are carried by everybody because everybody was involved. Everybody, you know, wanted to be part of it, wanted to be part of the planning at least, if not the production. And this is done because we can be better organized, have well-organized programming schedules, have good planning, have shared vision, come together in times like this to sort of articulate our shared visions and be able to then carry out programming that's done in this way. Now, there are some different areas. The difficult part is in these types of decisions, of course, is the gray area. I mean, if there's a catastrophe, if there's impeachment hearings or something, everybody's going to carry that anyway. Things that are very local, you know, they really aren't considered that much for national programming. It's the gray area in between where we do have these complications, and these discussions and sometimes difficulties trying to get things carried nationally. And I think this collaborative approach, which is written into my job description, which is, if you will, written into what I do day to day, is a good way to do it. Part of collaborative carry includes a mechanism to share the content amongst stations. AudioPort is great, but I think we're also talking about like really channels of communication, and that's a big part of what we're trying to do here. Must carry also doesn't just come from you know, national staff. There's occasional board must carry decisions that come down. You know, in the last year, the board's mandated carriage for a number of different programs, whether carts or actual, you know, regular series programs. And, you know, the staff, the operations collective had problems with must carry from boards as well as from national staff. So the staff, the operations collective is preparing just a best practices document, if you will, sort of something where, you know, the staff can articulate what we expect from the board and also what the board can expect from the staff and what staff can expect from other staff. And so that's something that that's in preparation. I want to actually invite the GMs to speak to this as well, if they'd like to.
Before you do that, Nathan, I think language is really important, particularly for an organization that prides itself on journalism. And you said something about a number of must carries coming from the board as regards programming and carts. So I'm aware of one decision about airing the National Spanish Language Program, and I'm aware of a decision asking stations to run carts for the elections. Were there anything else that I'm not tracking in that?
Yeah, well, the two I could bring up would be the must carry, or you didn't call it that, but it essentially was that for both the habeas corpus cart as well as the board resolutions just passed in January, which were in essence, say, telling the stations that they should be airing these things.
So you're including those as
yes,
board
and that really was specifically what the staff was addressing yesterday.
Thank you.
Actually.
Excuse me,
Mike, and then Ambrose. Well, I know we want questions. At one point, we're going to have a much broader discussion. I didn't know if your presentation was finished. I wanted to clarify that because it was a comment you just made.
Sure, sure.
But can we?
There's almost 2 hours of questions and comments later. I know on the agenda anyway.
Well, let's hear from Michael and then Ambrose, and then we'll proceed. Go ahead, Michael.
We would like to let the general managers or anyone else from the staff have
right.
A moment.
Yeah, we'll do that. I just thought there was something.
Before we talk to the general managers, I wanted to ask the program directors if they have imaginatively or practically thought about how to use the HD channels that will be. Did you discuss that at all?
We'll take that as questions when we get into the more general discussion. Ambrose, was there something about this?
That's a long answer.
Yeah.
No.
Did you also discuss whether or not we are a network? And if you did, how does a network function without must carry?
Well, that's a nice intro for the
folks I'll leave it to the general manager.
Wow, a brave man.
We did talk about whether we're a network or not, and you know, we all acknowledge that certainly we are, though for a good percentage of our working lives, we act as if we're not. And I'll be quite honest and say that I'm not alone as a general manager. I thought this was just a Southern thing, but seceding from the Union is not just a Southern concept.
Thank you.
I think just in terms of something to leave with y'all from my perspective as a general manager and something that we discussed quite at length yesterday is something that applies, I think, to the national board as in relation to the operating of the radio stations that make up our network. As well as it does on the local station board level, and that is the separation of powers between governance and operations. And I think that is something that's troubling to those of us who are operating these vehicles that we share to theoretically change the world. Or at least our little corners of it, that when a body, as well-intended as it may think it is, of necessity through the bylaws that you that we have created collaboratively.
Dwayne, before you go on, John's asking, these mics are purposely dead so we don't get feedback and he can leave them up, but that means you have to be right on top of them to be heard. 3 inches.
Okay, you could. Sorry, John. All right.
Hey, you're a radio guy.
I purposely don't like to eat the mic. That completely threw whatever sentence I was in the middle of off.
The bylaws.
Oh, the bylaws. Yeah, I mean, okay. We've collaborated to create these bylaws, and it's created a structure with I think some. You know, and we can argue over which specific flaws there are, and there are many, and there are many great things. But one of the flaws that we perceive is the fact that, you know, there are a fairly substantial number of y'all who are carryover board members from the previous year, and from the previous year, and from the previous decades. But there are a number of there are a number of new people on this board. And of necessity, you come together, and there's going to be a new group of y'all every year, okay? And for that governance structure, which, you know, arguably will take a matter of weeks, months, or so to come up to speed and develop its agenda and begin working together, to also insert itself into the operational structure of the station, I think that that's an unnecessary burden for y'all to take on, for one thing. But I also think that it's also unnecessarily burdensome to those of us who are tasked on a day-to-day level, theoretically as professionals, operating these radio stations for the greater good of all of us in the network. And I think that it's something that really becomes problematic when we have discussions or when we have mandates coming from the National Board saying, you must do this, in terms of a day-to-day operational situation. Guidance, vision, and such, certainly. But when we get into the must-carry or the day-to-day operational programmatic structure and such of this network, I think that it becomes a problem, and it's something that concerns all of us in the operational side of this.
See, the men don't stand up for the women anymore to move the mic.
That's because you declared you're independent.
I don't know if I should be. I'll probably be unpopular, but I don't know with which group. On the issue of must carry, when we discussed must carry yesterday, my question was, what drives must carry? What is behind it? And I believe that behind that is the board or this body believing that the stations is not doing what it's supposed to do. And that's where must carry comes from, to some degree, that there's important issues and critical issues that Pacifica should be covering as a national entity. So how do we get away from that? And I think in the absence of you as a board and the network coming together and creating a vision for programming, either on an annual basis or 6 months, to say this is where we're going, these are the issues we're covering, this is the direction for programming. In the absence of that, you're always going to deal with, are we forcing something? Do we have to mandate must carry instead of creating something that is collaborative? I know some of our board members in LA has started to quote some of the issues regarding programming in the bylaws that says it should be collaborative, it should be respectful and fair. And so how do we get to that point? We get to that point by talking to each other, by making sure that we are on par about what is our vision for programming for the next 6 months. So when we come back to a board meeting, you know what we said 6 months ago as to what are the issues that we will be addressing, and that there is a platform, there's a think tank that happens all of the time. So if there's something that comes down the pipe and the board thinks, well, you should be doing this, that there's discussion around it. And so if we open up the avenue for more discussion, for more collaboration, particularly if there's more collaboration between the stations, I think what's important is if the board gives us guidance and not tell us how to do our job and trust that we will do it, that creates better relationships. If you say this is the editorial that absolutely have to go on the air, well, telling us to do it for 5 minutes long creates resentment because we know in radio world that's probably not the smartest thing to do. So there's got to be better ways for us to do it, and it's driving the network with vision and planning programming ahead of time and knowing when it comes to critical issues we have to stand up and know that we're going to address it, and if we don't, then you deal with it. I mean, part of the issue is that just on the earlier discussion of programming, I think when we look at the international discussions that happen in the media and even on Pacifica, it's like Iraq has become the most important thing of our world today. Well, there's other issues that are critical. What's happening in Chad, what's happening in Rwanda, what's happening in South Africa, and we go on and on. We have become the followers of mainstream America. And we have to become the media makers. We have to become the news makers. I don't know when last Pacifica was at the top of breaking a news story. I think I actually remember, and it was the ousting of Aristide. And Margaret Prescott broke that story. So that was, 2 years ago? When did Pacifica break another story? When do we become the leaders in the network? So if we are the drivers together, if we are the drivers between the board, between the national staff, and we're driving programming, and we know where we're going together, I think then at some point the issue of must carry becomes null and void. And we don't have to go there. But we all have to be willing to have an open mind and say, okay. Because if you don't know what you're doing, if you don't know what the vision is for programming, how are you supposed to trust that we're going to do it? So I think that for me is a starting point. I also think that Pacifica is so into Pacifica that we forget there's a whole world out there when it comes to news. We have progressive media all around this country, and we're not creating and developing enough relationships. We're not building relationships, strong enough relationships with grassroots media, with independent and progressive reporters to be able to do different perspectives. Somebody talked about how we tell the stories. Well, you know, Pacifica, sometimes it can be pretty depressing listening to our stations because the news are so heavy. When do we inspire people? How do we inspire people? Through telling the stories, not just telling the negative stories. Everywhere in the world, when you look, there's incredible development work happening, but we don't hear it on Pacifica. Rarely ever do we look at the positive things that's happening because we have become so much our eyes set on what the mainstream America is doing. And I really think if we start building more our own network, that it's easier to then grow out and be able to build the grassroots movement so that Pacifica becomes the facilitator, the mother body that looks at putting out the news rather than taking the news from someone else. Thank you.
Good afternoon, everybody.
Good afternoon.
Actually, she said everything I was going to say. You know, so I really don't have a point. You know, I mean, talking about grassroots, talking about leading, talking about being, you know, the leaders in news. Where's the movement that's saying, why am I paying $3 for gas right now? I mean, we're talking about Iran and Iraq and all this kind of stuff, but I want to know, why am I paying $3 for gas still? And how come nobody told me this was getting ready to happen when you tell me that the price of oil is dropping? But anyway, with that being said, I mean, must carry has to be, as long as you trust our program directors who do a lot of hard work, a lot of research, and now they're going to be collaborating with each other on a regular basis, as long as you trust them to do their jobs, a must carry becomes more of a collaborative effort anyway. It naturally becomes like that. So, you know, we're not going to have to worry about, you know, where's this mandate coming from, where's this edict coming from, telling us to do something that we necessarily don't think we should do. These people work very hard putting together research, you know, getting the communities, talking to each other, trying to figure out what's going on and what's best to put over our airwaves. So as long as we allow them to do their jobs and trust them, I think all this must carry stuff will be, like, again, be more of a collaborative effort. That's really all for me.
Could I?
I was actually just about to wrap up. Mm-hmm.
The other thing that we discussed is this. We understand the need for this high level of collaboration so that we can do the stories and break the news that's relevant to the entire network. That high threshold, you know, whatever it may be, but it does have to be high in terms of the must carry. Emergency situations, if half of California was to fall into the ocean, that's a must carry, you know. Not trying to be prophetic or anything, no. Okay, all right. But you know, there are a lot of things. What happened at Virginia Tech the other day, you know, being able to break away and to let our listeners know what's going on there, you know, those are things, those are emergency situations that we as GMs, we can understand and respect. But must carry, once again, as the other folks have said, when you put must carry mandates on programming and you haven't considered the impact of that decision on the schedules of those respective stations, financially and programmatically, then that's where we have the problem. And without those kind of discussions before those decisions are made, then that creates the issues that we have right now. So these things, the programming that the board feels is important for us to be involved in, we can do that on a collaborative basis without a must-carry rule. And you will certainly get the support from the managers and the PDs on any effort that you folks might do to make that happen. Just involve us in the decision. That's all we're asking.
So looking toward the future of where we go from here in terms of discussions, capitalizing that in network.
Good question.
There's a few things that were on our agenda that we simply didn't get to. It was just one day, can't get to everything. A process for showcasing local programs. In my first couple of months here, it's one of the most common requests I get. People call me, they say, "Hey, I really want to be on more stations. I want my show to go national." It's like, okay, great. Well, you can put it on AudioPort, you can publicize it. You know, that's an avenue, but in terms of actually showcasing it, having sort of like a menu of national program offerings, have stations that will actually carry programs from other stations, this is all stuff that we need to work on and actually have a process for, and that's something that we'll need to talk about and develop. We didn't get to it. More news department cooperation. You know, we've been talking about the stations on the whole, but actually collaborating and sharing news stories and putting together newscasts that combine more. That's something else that there's a lot of room to talk about, and the news directors might be able to get together in our teleconference before we actually come back together, and that will be wonderful. Also still to be addressed, a number of technical areas. Cooperation and accountability in tech is one part. Actually having our tech standards up to par and being able to cooperate on tech matters and you know, what happens when something goes wrong with tech. And then also building tech capacity, actually investing in technical infrastructure, and that's something that's also very needed. And something we didn't really get to talk about much. And again, for that, we should really probably look at bringing in the technical coordinators, operations coordinators to make that happen. In sum, I'd like to keep doing these. I think it's really valuable to get together in person from time to time. I know the board considers it valuable for it to meet in person 4 times a year. I'd love for the program directors to all be able to meet in person at least twice a year to simply talk about programming and make it happen as a network. Thanks.